Who's the celebrity? Because last year it was
me.
It was you?
The bar is very low.
So they went from Gary St. Jean, Chris Mullin, to Joe Shasky.
Yeah, but it was a city affair.
That's not bad, actually.
I interviewed all the coaches. It was a good time.
There you go.
If you could interview Kyle Shanahan right now, what would be the hardest pill for him to swallow for this season? If he had to be truthful and you said, Kyle, like, what's the thing that you've had the most difficult time coming to grips with? And I already know what it is for me.
I think for him, it'd be the IU situation.
Interesting that you went that one. Okay, why?
Yeah, I went IU because it set a bad tone to the season. And I'm not blaming IU and I'm not blaming the organization. I'm just blaming the situation. And the fact that that situation lingered as long as it did, and we went back and forth with Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Buffalo and New England and then Pittsburgh again. And I'm like, oh, boy. And you knew how the season was going to start for Brandon Ayuk. You knew he wasn't going to be up to speed. We had experience with Bosa with that. Now, again, I don't look at the player and look at Brandon Ayuk and say, man, he was wrong for this in terms of getting his money, because I understand why he wouldn't play on a $14 million. I know it's a lot of money, and it's money I'll probably never see in my life, but in terms of your career, in terms of what he does, in terms of what the market was and how it exploded, I understand where Brandon Ayuk was coming from. I just don't think it was handled greatly, and it set a bad tone for the season. Just wish that they made the move either at the deadline to either trade Brandon Ayuk or Debo, or not draft a wide receiver. So when you draft a wide receiver, complicated everything, and then all of a sudden you get to camp and Pearsall's not playing, but you don't have Brandon Ayuk there. And Brandon Ayuk was one of the best players in training camp the last 3 years, which has sparked him having monster seasons for the 49ers, back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. So if I was to ask Kyle anything, wow, this is great knowledge. I got to find out who this number is. Bonte, you were at the Lion Pub every weekend. There was a stretch in my mid-20s.
Wow.
Where we were in the Lions Pub every single weekend. I got to find who this number is. Because my roommate,
Aaron
Donahoe.
Were you a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday night Lion Club guy?
It's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Because Aaron Donahoe,
Saturday,
my roommate was the bartender.
Oh, well, that changes the whole bartender. Yeah, that changes.
So we
the
went
whole
there
equation.
All the time.
Yeah, that changes.
All the time. I got to find out who that number is. But
we got to get you down to the Beacon.
I haven't been out to the Beacon in a while.
Yeah, you got to go down to the Beacon.
But no, I would say the Ayuk situation. I think that set the tone for the season.
That, you know, that's an interesting one. That would not have been one that I would have came to immediately. It would have been something like Super Bowl or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the way you laid it out and kind of the domino effect, I think I'm coming around on that one. I think you're on to something there.
Didn't you get Trent out of nowhere? Trent out of nowhere is like, yeah, I'm staying in East Texas. I can't be the sixth highest paid left tackle.
It's absurd.
I mean, that one just threw us four curveballs. Like, damn.
How many people did we take phone calls from? You got to get Trent. You got to get Trent.
You do, though.
Like, no, I know you do, but like, in retrospect, the way it went down was pretty weak.
Very weak.
I mean, considering that he's been paid very handsomely throughout his career, it's just like, come on, Trent. I mean, your season's been meh. It hasn't been horrible. It hasn't been great. It's just been meh. You know, and like, but the point about the wide receiver is interesting because I've been thinking about it. I think the biggest misstep for this team, you know, when you play Madden, right? For example, at the end of a season in Madden, and this is the video game I'm talking about. They do this like fake press conference thing. Mm-hmm. This is the new game. And they go,
oh, they got the press conference. I haven't gotten to do
okay.
that
and
yet.
And they ask you as the head coach, what are you going to do in the offseason? And it says, no plan at all. Make a splash in free agency or win the draft. Okay, and you have to kind of pick of those three. And I feel like the Niners were like, we're not sure. Like, off the board, right? They got to the draft, and I don't think they really knew in their heart of hearts whether they were going
to
execute the pick, trade one of their wide receivers, or what. Like, I don't think they really had a game plan. I think they were fielding calls, and I think they were oscillating between paying Ayuk, not paying Ayuk, trading Debo, not trading Debo, trading Ayuk, moving up in the draft, not moving up. And I think their inability to do anything on draft day has haunted them all year.
No doubt.
I think you've gotten the worst out of Debo, even though he came in great shape. I think you got a poor Ayuk off to the right foot, you know, at the beginning of the year because you didn't pay him and you didn't have him in camp, and it didn't necessarily help your quarterback. I think that bringing in Pearsall really didn't make a lot of sense considering where he would be on the depth chart as wide receiver 4 at best to start things. You needed that first-round pick to contribute this year.
Yeah, and he couldn't stay on the field in the training camp. So when you think about the combine and you're getting over to Super Bowl, you get to the scouting combine, you get to the Senior Bowl, and the Jaguars were heavily rumored. Remember, we had B.A. O'Brien on from Jacksonville. She does a great job covering the Jaguars. We love B.A. O'Brien on the show. And they were interested in Brandon Ayuk. And then I happened to be watching NFL Network, and they were at LSU's Pro Day. And who was it? Was it Cameron Wolf? Not the lady. Who's the guy who covers the Miami, the Florida teams? Maybe Cam. I forget his name.
Someone.
We had him on the pregame show one time. Anyway, he's down there at LSU's Pro Day. And he's sitting next to Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr., who got selected by the Jaguars, 17 overall. And the reporter goes, I think it was Cameron. Was it Cameron Wolf? It was Cameron Wolf. All right. I'm thinking of Colleen Wolf. That's why. Cameron Wolf.
Both guy. NFL Network.
Yeah, yes. Both NFL Network. Okay. Yeah, and I even put that together. But Kevin Wolf, sitting there at LSU Pro Day, he turns over to Brian Thomas Jr. He goes, hey, I was talking to some executives while you were running routes and participating in Pro Day, and these execs are comparing you to Brandon Ayuk. They think you're the next Brandon Ayuk. And I was like, damn, remember I clipped it. I sent it to you guys. Like, man, Jacksonville. So in hindsight, trade Brandon Ayuk to Jacksonville to get the 17th overall pick, maybe selected Brian Thomas Jr., your books look differently. You have a wide receiver on a rookie contract. Now, I get why the Niners wouldn't move off of Brandon Ayuk. He's coming off a career year, has a great rapport with Brock Purdy. I understand that. It's like, man, you just developed this guy. You're going to flip him for another first-round pick who's a question mark. But he's an LSU wide receiver, and I think Brian Thomas Jr., he's been the lone bright spot for the Jacksonville Jaguars this season. The guy's a player. But it was interesting that execs were comparing him to Brandon Ayuk. So you knew Jacksonville was involved. You knew Pittsburgh wanted Ayuk. You knew New England would want him. And you mishandled the situation. But not only that, you also have Debo coming in, and he came into camp on shape. Everybody said how great Debo was at camp. Now, it really hasn't translated here at the tail end of the regular season. But you also put it out there that you're taking calls on Debo Samuel. And did you take Ricky Pearsall? So automatically, to your point, like, did they really know what they were doing at the draft? I don't know if they did. I don't know if they had, oh, man, let's re-sign. We know we're going to, all of a sudden, the market explodes, too. That's another thing. It's another caveat here where the wide receiver market explodes. Who got paid?
Everyone got paid.
Everybody got paid. And Ayuk wanted to get paid early. So you could have saved yourself maybe $20 million.
Here's the sad thing that is very difficult to swallow. You're bringing up Brian Thomas, okay? We're also going to bring up Ladd McConkey. Now, I'm going to read these stats off to you, and you're going to say, Joe, there's no way in hell. Debo and Brandon Ayuk this year combined 59 catches, 885 yards, one touchdown. I'll read that again. Wow. Brandon Ayuk and Debo Samuel combined 59 catches, 885 yards, one touchdown. Brian Thomas by himself, 42 catches, 700 yards, 5 touchdowns. Ladd McConkey, 50 catches, 700 yards, 4 touchdowns. Look, I was hesitant to pay Brandon Ayuk the amount of money that he was looking for. I think he's a really, really good player. But given what you paid Debo, and team building and the way you build your team, it just doesn't feel like great juice, great squeeze. You also pay Juwan Jennings, who's outperformed all these guys this year. And then you throw in Ricky Pearsall. So those are the two guys, Brian Thomas, first rounder, Ladd McConkey, I believe, mid-second rounder.
No. Well, here's the picks.
Yeah, give them to me.
Here's the picks. Back to back to back to back to back. Pearsall, 31 overall. 32, I believe, was Xavier Leggett from the Carolina Panthers. And then 33 was Keon Coleman, and then Ladd McConkey.
Okay, so Ladd McConkey, 34, right. 35. Okay.
So Leggett, Coleman, and McConkey go right after Pearsall.
So both the rookie guys that I referenced, Ladd McConkey and Brian Thomas Jr., basically giving you the duality production of what you're getting from Debo and Brandon Ayuk with way more touchdowns. Pearsall's got 11 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Now, look, the guy was hurt. He got shot. I'm granting him a ton of leniency, but you drafted him with a premium pick, and he's the fourth wide receiver, probably the seventh option on this offense heading into the year. Yeah. I go back to value on these picks and about paying people and money and all this. But it's a horrific value.
But you know what, though? I understood that they will probably move off of Deebo after the season.
Yeah, but in year one, it's not great value.
In year one, it's not great value, but I understand bringing the band back together because Deebo and Ayuk were one of the best duels at the wide receiver position last season. They just were. Those are the facts. So I understand why you want to keep Brandon Ayuk here to have a number one wide receiver for Brock Purdy. I understand that. But when you draft Ricky Pearsall, and Ricky Pearsall may be good, but Dave, he can't get a target in Green Bay. I mean, Ricky Pearsall's got two targets in the last 2 weeks.
Well, he's got 11 catches.
Two targets in the last 2 weeks after having a big game in Tampa Bay. What is going on with Ricky Pearsall? Is he not getting open? Is it the quarterback not seeing him? Baldy's going to join us in 13 minutes. He was at Lambeau Field. He was at Lambeau. We'll get to Fred Warner, Pearsall, all this stuff. But the value there in messing around with the Ayuk situation set a bad tone for the season. And then on top of the Ricky Pearsall situation, yes, where he doesn't participate in training camp due to shoulder injuries, and then boom, he gets shot. He gets shot right down the street from where we're doing this show at right now. Brandon Ayuk, obviously, slow start, then tears a knee up against Kansas City. Season's over. Deebo did have a great camp, apparently.
He did. But look where we're at.
Look where we're at. And then you get Trent Williams holding out at left tackle. And I thought, this is where I think it hurts Bosa. Nobody talks about this ever.
What's that?
When you're in training camp and you're going against Jaylon Moore and Colton McKivitz, how much better are you getting as a defensive end?
That's a good point.
When you have Trent Williams there to practice against every single week, it makes you better. So in the past two camps, Bosa hasn't been able to go at Trent Williams in individual drills or 7-on-7s or full-team drills, 11-on-11, move the ball drills, whatever you want to name. Not having Trent Williams there this year hurt Bosa. Bosa not being there last year obviously hurt him, even though his mom and everybody else ran a bunch of game on his station talking about, oh, he's going to be just fine. And then midway through the year, we got this dude out here blaming Steve Wilks, but I'm not going there right now. It's about what went wrong this season. And no, those are just, I mean, they couldn't even scrimmage against the Saints this year. They couldn't even scrimmage against the Saints. They had to cancel an inter-squad scrimmage, so you couldn't get work there. It's been a disastrous year. And then not to mention McCaffrey, who comes up with the calf injury in training camp.
And then
you walk around the Jets game before the game, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, McCaffrey's not going to play. And then heard a little whisper, Bonte, it's not really a calf. It's an Achilles. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? And then, of course, later that night, hey, it's an Achilles. And the next day, we're talking about Achilles tendons. And then a couple weeks later, we find out it's bilateral Achilles tendonitis. So now you don't have the guy who was the offensive player of the year to cover a Madden, who could have won an MVP, who fixed all your red zone woes. And so now you got a lost year from McCaffrey. So everything that could go bad for this team has gone bad. And yet they're a game out of first place.
Well, it's not just that it's gone bad. That's like they're an expensive bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hargrave, $16 million in cash this year. You got nothing.
Nothing.
Right? Brandon Ayuk, he's making $24 million in cash this year. You got nothing. Okay, we referenced CMC, $17 million in cash this year. Very little.
No, you got nothing, Chaz.
Okay. All right. You're right.
Let's be fair.
Pearsall, $7 million in cash. Not a lot. Juwan Jennings, $8 million in cash. Maybe the best bang for the buck on the entire roster. But you spent $22 million in cash on Deebo. Look at how much you're paying a wide receiver. 22, 7, 8, 24. You're not a passing team.
Yeah.
And I would say passing isn't even close to one of the strengths of this team.
But you know what, though? I think maybe Kyle and John Lynch looked at that Super Bowl saying, if we don't get more explosive on the outside, we don't have a chance to beat these teams deep into the playoffs. Maybe that Super Bowl damaged them psychologically so much that they said, you know what? We need to, juice up our passing game here. Our passing game is outdated. Maybe if we get some guys in here, like a Ricky Pearsall, and we continue to build with Ayuk and Juwan Jennings, and you still have Deebo, maybe our passing game will be better. I don't know. I'm just kind of, I hear you. You know what I'm saying?
But because my other takeaway from from that Super Bowl, that is a good point of view. But if that's the case, then you should have moved off of Deebo. And if that's the case, then you should have invested in your offensive line. Because one of my big takeaways from the Super Bowl was not just the wide receiver play, which I think we've obsessed about, it's the offensive line. you know, center, right tackle. You know, they did shore up the guard and they got Pooney. It's just, they've just.
And they couldn't run the ball in that Super Bowl anyway.
At all.
Consistently. So teams knew in these big games too, that's the worst part about it. You think about 2021 in the LA Rams and what they did with Eric Weddle. They just slammed the box.
They did.
They said, we're going to just take away your run game. And in the Super Bowl, Kansas City did something similar. They just slammed the run game. Slam the gaps. We're going to play 8-9 in the box. We're going to dare you to throw outside the numbers. And the Niners were unable to do that in the Super Bowl. They've been unable to do that this season.
I keep coming back to, like, when we talk about the Warriors, the top paid players have to play like it.
Yeah.
And when we talk about the Niners, the top paid players have not played like the top paid players.
No.
Diamon Lenore has played like that this year. George Kittle has played like that this year. Fred Warner, it's been about a month. He hasn't played like it. And I think he's hurt. I'm granting him that.
He's hurt, and the defensive line's getting pushed back so much that they're getting to the second level and killing Fred Warner.
Highest paid player on the team this year, Trent Williams, not playing like it. Nick Bosa, not playing like it. You know, Leonard Floyd, not playing like it. Charvarius Ward. Look, man, I'm granting that guy a complete pass.